Hey, this podcast replay, it's brought to you by Sports Grill with 7 great locations. Check out the Bird Road and Miami Lakes locations. Sports Grill is the home to the legendary Sports Grilled Wings, and catch our Dolphins pre- and post-game shows at the Miami Lakes and Bird Road locations for the 2021 season.
All righty, not a good one. It is ugly, that's what it is. We are coming to you live, baby, from Sports Grill in Miami Lakes. And unfortunately, not a good day for the Miami Dolphins. A terrible day all the way around. I know you guys already are having at it. I see it on Twitter. I see it all over the place. I'm sure we'll see it on the chat board today as the Miami Dolphins get absolutely walloped by the Buffalo Bills. It was an ugly game in every way, shape, and form. Obviously, it leads with Tua getting injured and out with the rib injury and did not return. And for those of you that think that Jacoby Brissett is going to bail you out of anything, that's not going to happen. And the one concern that I do have right now is how long is Tua going to be out? See, I'm not going to go to the extreme like a lot of you out there where you're going to go overreacting and say, oh, the season's over and Flo sucks. And Greer can't find any talent, and the offensive line is terrible. And, you know, it's one game. It's one game, and in one game, I'm not going to overreact when there's 15 more to go after that. You know, the problem is, and we talk a lot about this on the show, there's micro and macro, right? And people just live in the moment, and then they react. You lost. It goes on the board as a loss. You're 1-1. Doesn't mean that you're going to keep losing all your games from here on out. Now, when I look at this team, there's a lot of things. Look, in 2020, last year, the Dolphins opened up by losing to New England and then losing to the Bills. The games they split this year, they lost both. Then they went 10-4 after that. Okay, so they started 0-2 last year, and they go 10-4 after that. Now, again, the caveat is how long will Tua be out is the question. We're going to hear from the coach in a few minutes when he takes the podium, and we'll find. Now, I know the coach is just going to say day-to-day because that's what he says about all injuries. But, again, for those of you that are going to overreact after one game, the Bills, don't be – I mean, listen, the Bills are a team that is looked at as the one that could challenge the Chiefs to go to the Super Bowl. So let's not be surprised that you saw a really good team out there on the field today. And Miami, while the offense was terrible, the defense was also terrible at the beginning. And it was one of those games where it was kind of weird because after those first two touchdowns – the Dolphins did everything right in order to get back into that game, and then they kept shooting themselves in the foot. They easily could have scored more points, and obviously Parker dropping the touchdown, Albert Wilson with the drop, Jakeem Grant with the drop, all the things that could possibly happen to you, and you kept shooting yourself in the foot. Waddle with a fumble on the return. Jakeem Grant, by the way, injures an ankle, doesn't come back. So that puts Waddle out there a full-time basis as a returner and in the rain. The kid fumbled twice on that play. Not once, twice on that play. Everything that could possibly happen and go wrong for Miami, that's exactly what happened in this game. Everything went wrong. It was just ugly. And look, I get it. People are going to overreact. People are going to say the season's over, which is ridiculous. Remember, in 2019... this team lost their first five games by a combined 163-26. They lost their The first seven games they lost by a combined score of 238-77. And then after went 5-4 and beat New England in New England when they needed that game badly. So Miami has shown you they can be resilient under Flo many, many times. Now, again, the caveat is, how long is Tua out? We don't know how serious the rib injury is. We don't know how long he's going to be out. All the Dolphins reported was
that he's out with the rib injury. They didn't say anything else about it. So we'll find out how serious this rib injury is and how long it keeps him out. If it's a fracture, if it's a hairline fracture, if it's one or two breaks, I don't know. I have no idea. But they've got to do something about several things. One, Jesse Davis really has no business starting in the NFL. Let's be honest now, okay? I love Jesse Davis as a sixth man. I think I've said it on the show 1,000 times already. He should be the sixth man, and you might as well throw the other young guy in there in Eichenberg and let him figure it out and let him get all. Remember what I was telling you about Noah Igbinoghomi? That Noah really should be on a really bad football team where they can play him every week and let him learn and let him make his mistakes and let him grow. He can't do that here. Unfortunately, he can't do that here because they've got two starting corners that are better than him at this point in time. So he can't get any playing time. You know what I'm saying? Well, unfortunately for the Miami Dolphins, I know they want to be playoff contenders. I know we feel they can be playoff contenders after 10 wins last year, but they're going to have to sacrifice and get through it with the line. Now, this is where you're developing a lot of young people and maybe too many at the same time. But now that you're in it, you might as well get it done. You might as well throw Eichenberg in there, let him play right tackle. Let's see what you've got. As I've told you many times, two or three of these guys are going to fail. Nobody drafts five offensive linemen and they hit on all the picks. That just does not happen. So you need to play these guys and play them a lot so you can get a better feel by the end of year two where these guys are at. But there's no doubt that the offensive line was the main culprit in this game today. Tua had no time whatsoever. Once the pocket collapses, he's not 6'4". So he's not going to be able to look over the line and throw over the line. Once the pocket is collapsing and offensive linemen are coming together, his passing lanes are gone. And so it becomes that much tougher for him. And when he starts to roll out one way or the other, he's rolling into a sack. And in the case of Jesse Davis, got beat so bad that this guy got a clear shot and was able to crush Tua. Now, while Tua obviously got hit hard, this is the concern that I've had about Tua, unfortunately, is durability. And here's game 11, and he gets injured, and he's out now, and I don't know how long it is. I hope it's only one game. I hope it's only this game. I hope he's able to come back next week. It would be nice if he's able to come back next week. But that's the unanswered question. Tua with the ribs. Jesse Davis then went out with the knee. Jakeem Grant went out with the ankle. The problems are a ton right now for the Miami Dolphins. Remember, you can reach out to us on the text line at 855-912-1056. Of course, you can chime in on the YouTube chat board. If you want there, email BigORadioShow@yahoo.com and Twitter at Big O Show. The worst part about the loss is that the idiots come out. And then the idiots are overreacting on a consistent basis about everything. And so for those of you out there that are tuning in for this, here you go. You want to hear it? Okay, the season is over. Flow sucks. Greer can't draft. Get rid of the entire offensive line. We're done. Okay, there you go. You got your fill. All right, you're ready to go? Go ahead. Go off and go have a beer and have some fun. I mean, that's what we're going to get at this point in time. We're going to get a whole bunch of people overreacting, and they're not going to remember certain things, and they're just going to go like, this game is the entire season. And I can't see it. Let's go to Flo. Huh? How's that? Okay. All right. So who's up first? All right. Wait till they're done, and then we'll go back to it, and we'll get to it. All right. So players are starting to talk now. We'll see what Flo is doing at this point in time. He might be getting, I want to say he might be getting more information, but knowing Flo, he's not going to give us anything. You know what I mean? So I was really disappointed in the defense too. The defense started off so poorly and they allowed that game to get out of control with the quickness. And then the defense then all of a sudden started to play really well. They got after Josh Allen, and the offense just could not finish drives, could not do the things that they needed in order to get this thing done. It was tough, man. It was tough to watch. I got to admit that all the way around, it was absolutely brutal to watch, but I chalk it up to a horrible day, and that's it. Because we're talking about a team that for the first 2 years is one of the least penalized teams in the NFL. I've watched this team for the last 2 years bounce back from resiliency. This isn't one of those teams that when they have a bad day or a bad couple games that they go into the tank and the season's done. That wasn't in 2009 when everybody thought they were tanking and they finished 5-4 and beat New England. And last year when they lost their first two games, they went 10-4 after losing their first two games. So to think that this team is going to fold and all of a sudden this is the season, you know, it just tells me that you really don't know football and don't understand what this team is all about. This is a pretty resilient team overall. Flo's a damn good coach. I think he's talking now. I think he's about to take the podium. Let's go to the podium because they're going to go to Flo now. Let's do that. Go for it, por favor. Let's see. Here we go. Let's get Flo in there. All right. Do it. Here we go. Penalties, drop passes,
missed tackles. No, that's tough for me. I got to do that. We didn't play well in the area. I mean, we beat ourselves. You know, penalties, drop. You know, and that starts with me. I got to do a better job. I got to do a better job of getting us ready to go. That wasn't the case today. And, you know, give Buffalo credit. They're a good team. They played well in all three phases. But we need to do a much better job from an execution standpoint, and give ourselves an opportunity to be in the game. Which, you know, I thought, you know, early we missed a lot of opportunities. So,
Ryan, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
You've obviously spent a lot of draft capital on your offensive line in recent years. How did the offensive line, in your view, perform today? And where is that?
Yeah, we didn't do well enough in really in any area today. So offensive line, you know, defensive line, coaching. So I think we just need to regroup, make the corrections, and do better.
Brian, you get the home opener, you get the big crowd, the excitement, and your quarterback goes down early in the game. What does that do for a team, and how do you regroup from that after it goes down?
I think, you know, we have to regroup. We have to regroup, and we didn't do a good enough job of that. We talk about a kind of a next man up mentality. Jacoby's got to go in a game, and we've got it's a team effort. So really across the board, O-line, running backs, tight ends, receivers, you know, we didn't get enough good enough execution across the board. And to include defensively, we didn't get good enough execution. Or in a kicking game, and you know when you don't execute, you miss opportunities, you don't have success.
How do you assess Jacoby's game?
You know, we didn't good enough, and that's across the board. I think as an offense, as a defense, as a special team, as a coaching staff, we didn't do anything good enough today. We'll go back. We'll make the corrections, and you know we need to perform better. You know, if we want to give ourselves a chance to have success.
Ryan, they came out with 7-8-man front flips and right from the first play. What went wrong schematically with you, or was it?
I've got to go back and watch the film. We had a lot of, you know, protection issues, whether it's, you know, I know they were up on the line of scrimmage, but when they weren't, we still had some issues. So I'll go back and watch the film. I have a lot more of an understanding of what happened from that standpoint, you know, after I watch it. I thought that we, you know, the preparation was good. We didn't execute. I mean, that's really what it boils down to. you know, in any phase. You know, when you have drops, when you have misassignments, when you have mental errors, when you have, you know, fumbles and, you know, you lack ball security. I mean, like, we didn't play well. I thought the preparation, you know, I thought we had a good week of prep. Obviously not good enough. I got to do a better job of getting us prepared. But we didn't execute. I think that was what it was, you know, more than anything. I think if, we got to do a better job of executing. I got to do a better job of getting us to a point where we can execute better.
What can you tell us about Jesse Davis, Kevin
Brandt? We'll have more information tomorrow. Both tough guys. I know they'll do everything they can to get back out there, but,
Do you think all the drop passes today has something to do with maybe the wide receivers not knowing Jacoby's rhythm, anything like that?
I mean, there's a lot that plays into it, but throwing and catching, you know, that's kind of a fundamental that we talk about. You know, if the ball's there, I think we should, you know, have an opportunity or give ourselves, if we're given an opportunity to catch it, we got to catch it. You know, whether, you know, whoever's throwing the ball, we get enough reps with Jacoby and the other receivers that, you know, I don't want to use that as an excuse.
You have a veteran backup, of course, and Jacoby. Where's the team's confidence should you need him next week against the Raiders?
I mean, you know, we'll see where we're at with Tua. But, you know, like any position, you know, if he's not able to go, and like we've dealt with this for, you know, with COVID, with injuries, I mean, this is kind of something it's not new to anyone. The next guy's got to play. And that's, you know, it's the case with me as well. Look, I mean, guys are disappointed. As you know, I mean, any conversation I have with the, you know, players, I try to keep private, but guys are disappointed. I'm disappointed. But, you know, I think we got to do, we need to just regroup, come in tomorrow, make the corrections, and, you know, start fresh Wednesday and get ready for our next opponent, which is going to be another tough game on the road. I think there's we need to just do a better job of executing. You know, I think if we do that, then things take care of themselves. You know, it's hard. Every week is hard in this league. So, you know, but you know, give them credit. They did a great job today. They played well in all three phases, and we've got to be better.
Two final questions.
Was there any chance, I guess, today for Tua to come back?
No.
Who is if Jacoby were to have gone down, do you have like an emergency quarterback? Is there a player?
And we'll talk through that this week. You know, I'm hopeful that Tua's back, and we don't have to kind of go into that. But we'll talk about that this week. I mean, right now we don't, you know, on the roster, we don't have anyone. I mean, we have Reed Sinet on the practice squad. But we would, you know, have to make a move to do that. So hopefully we don't have to.
Like today, it's looking back, but if Jacoby were to come down, who would have?
Yeah, we had a plan. We have a third quarterback. Thanks.
All right, that's the coach, Brian Flores, addressing the media. And you know what I love about this world? And there's a reason why many of you idiots get your information from Facebook posts, okay? You know, that's some of you idiots actually think that that's like, you know, law, some Facebook post. So you take it as information for anything in the world, right? And what I love is people just make stuff up. Kelly Ramos or Ramos, I'm not sure if it's Ramos or Ramos, whatever it is, but clearly you're missing a lot of noodles in your brain there, Roman noodle or whatever you want to call yourself. Kelly Ramos, here we go. Excuses, mumbo jumbo, blah, blah, blah. Did I hear an excuse from Kelly? When you used to tell your teacher that the dog ate your homework, that's an excuse. Okay? See, this is what I like about people. They make stuff up. At no point there did Flo make one excuse. Not one excuse. He said, we didn't play well in any area. He called out his whole team. He said, I need to coach better. I need to put my guys in a better position. We need to be prepared. We made mental mistakes. We dropped footballs. We missed assignments. Not one point did he say, well, you know, that guy's ankle, you know, that's why he didn't catch the ball. Well, you know, our offensive line is really young. That's why they struggled some, because they're still not there yet. I didn't hear one excuse. But see, when you have idiots like that for so-called fans, that's the problem in this world. That's the problem in this world. The Kelly Ramos or Ramoses of the world. Folks, this isn't the show you want to send stupid comments to. We will call you out, okay? So, Kelly, learn a little football, or maybe even clean your ears. You might want to take out some wax. Here, I got a pen. Why don't you come over here? I'll dig it out of your ear if you want over here at Sports Grill, buddy. Idiotas. And you understand that one, right? I mean, it really is. It's classic, man. It's classic. Now, let me give you, so you guys can feel good about yourselves there. The Miami line, the left tackle is starting his second year. The right guard starting his second year. The center, he's basically a rookie. The right guard starting his second year. And then the right tackle has five. They have 14 years combined. The right tackle has 5 years of experience. You know how many years the Bills have? 29 years of experience. 5-7-7-3-7. That's the difference. And yes, the offensive line was terrible today. But to just discard and say that these guys are never going to be good is ridiculous. You know, some of you were saying before the game, well, you know, Buffalo's front isn't as good as New England's. Well, they got after it today. They got some guys that can get after it. Even the University of Miami's Greg Rousseau ended up picking up his first sack of his career against the Miami Dolphins. Listen, man, this is part of the growing pains. It is. Unfortunately, this is a terrible outing for the Miami Dolphins. But it's one terrible outing. Many of you all over the place, Twitter, email, text, on the YouTube chat board, you're making it sound like it's all 16 games are going to be like this. And that's never been the case for this team, even in 2019 when they had no talent and they got their asses kicked for 7 weeks, they turned it around. So for anybody to think that this is a team that doesn't have any character and isn't going to bounce back, or that Flo can't coach, or that Flo can't figure it out, then you don't know what the hell you're talking about. You're an overreacting little bitch after one game is what you are. You're gutless, and you know what? You probably shouldn't be rooting for a team like this, because they've shown a lot more toughness than most of you have. So, you know, to me, it's just, it gets ridiculous to a point where you take one loss and you make it an entire season. Why don't we wait for the next couple of weeks? Why don't we watch what goes on for the next couple of weeks and let's see how they respond to all of this? You know, last week, I still found people complaining after a win. I get it, man. It sucks to lose 35-0. It sucks even more to lose to the Bills 35-0. But it's one game. It's one game. And so these are all things that can be corrected. Jalen Waddle can hang on to the ball. Okay? Devontae Parker can hang on to the ball. Maybe Jakeem Grant can't. But everybody else can hang on to the ball. You know what I'm saying? And Albert Wilson, you know what we should do with Albert Wilson? Take off his pads and put him in shorts, because that's exactly how he plays well, in shorts. Okay? Or maybe what we'll do is his white pants, they'll paint shorts on them. Albert, you're in shorts right now, and then maybe he'll catch a football. I mean, these are things that we have to relax, man. Some of this stuff can be all corrected, but to just go crazy to think that the season is over, I just don't get it. Leon Fresco, thank you, sir. I appreciate you giving us some love on the super chat. He says, O-line stinks, can't rush Tua back because Tua's too frail and unelusive to protect himself. Organization to blame, trying to build plane and fly it at the same time. Needed to max protect after first half. There's a lot of things there I can't argue with, my brother. Those are good points. And yes, maybe max protect might have been the better thing. Yeah, maybe helping your tackles a little bit might have been the better thing. But you know what? At least with Jesse Davis, you're hoping that as a veteran, he can hang in there for you. You know what I'm saying? But that just wasn't the case. John Patterson, thank you, sir. A little love on the super chat. He says, this rebuild is ahead of schedule, and I think Miami has a great opportunity next week. The Raiders will be reading their press clippings. Raiders have played really well the first 2 weeks, bro. They're better than what I thought they were. I got to tell you, maybe at least for the first 2 weeks. But again, if we could get to a back, that's a whole different ballgame. I will tell you, with Brissett, I don't have a lot of hope. I'd almost rather play the kid than Brissett. I'm not joking. I really like the kid more than I like Brissett. So maybe that's the case. I don't know. I doubt it. They'll probably go with Brissett. But Brissett, I saw that story in Indianapolis plenty, and I had enough of it to know that Brissett is not the guy. Unless you have a dominant line and running game, then you can make Brissett useful to play off of that because he's smart enough for that. But he's just not talented enough to be a difference maker. He is talented enough to possibly be a game manager on top of anything else. So I just, you know, for me, and remember, folks, you can also support the show. I love it on Cash App, but you can do it on Venmo, Cash App or Venmo. At Cash Big O Show is the address. That's Cash Big O Show. The text line, 855-912-1056. That's 855-912-1056 if you want to get in on the program. And there's a ton of you already on the chat board. So let me see what I got here. Francisco says, what I saw was inconsistency from the offense, drop balls, and your boy Jakeem Grant fumbled on the scoring drive. I was so disappointed in the offense, regardless who it was. QB behind center. I'll tell you what. I'm a big Jakeem guy. You all know that. But what I always say about it, don't play him at wide receiver. Just keep him as a returner. And that's where I was disappointed. After all these receivers you have, you had to use Jakeem Grant. That didn't make any sense to me. It just didn't make any sense to me. And I can defend Jakeem Grant, but I defend him always as what? A returner. I never tell you ever that I put him out there as a wide receiver. I said, this is great this year. You've got all the receivers. You don't have to use Jakeem. So I blame the coaching staff. I blame the offensive coordinators for using Jakeem Grant as a wide receiver when they should not be using him as a wide receiver. He's strictly a returner, and that's the way it should be. God is chiming in on the super chat. He says, going in for my first job interview today. Any tips? You're God, bro. You don't need any help. Just tell him, I'm God. That's all. And threaten them. I'm God. You don't give me the job, I will crush you. And that's all. And they'll give you the job. Nobody second guesses God. So God, that's my tip for you. Tell them you are God and you'll get the job right away. Sinet, the next Marino. I want him over Brissett. And there's no way Flo does that, by the way. There's no way Flo does it, but I would. Because I just don't trust Brissett. To me, is just a guy. He placeholder for a couple plays a game, maybe two, get him out of there. But he's not going to be a difference maker. Let's see. What else do we have here? Antonio says, be careful what you say here. If you don't say good things about Tua or coach, Big O will not play nice. No, that's not true. You can say whatever you want. Just don't say stupid things like, oh, excuses, blah, blah, blah. And Flo never said one excuse. I'd love play back the press conference. Tell me where he said an excuse. All I heard was take accountability for why you suck today. That's it. So, again, make stuff up if you want. Go ahead. There's another one making stuff up because I never said that. Big O, Jamie from San Jose. It was a difficult game to watch. It was impossible to watch. Everything that could go wrong went wrong. It was just one of those days. Time to get back to the drawing board and grind next game. That's it, man. I will get concerned if it's a few weeks from now and this play continues. That's how I get concerned. But you think I'm going to worry about one game? One stinking game? It was terrible. It sucked, dude. It was painful to watch. But I'm not going to overreact off of one game. Eric Echeverria says, so Godsey is not the answer at OC. We went from averaging 23 points a game to struggling to get 17 with more weapons. Again, Eric, you know, I'm not going to the ridiculous point of overreacting after one game. You played two very good defenses. You beat one, you lost to the other. It is what it is. And let me tell you something. Did Godsey make the right call when Parker was in the end zone with the ball in his hands there? I'm just checking. When Jalen Waddle had the ball and he drops it, is that Godsey's fault? When Jakeem drops it, when Albert Wilson drops it, is that Godsey's fault? I'm missing something here. I'm sorry. It seems like they called the right play. It was just the players didn't execute. The player was open. The ball hit their hands, and then it hit the floor. I'm not sure where that's Godsey's fault. But, I mean, you can make up whatever you want. I mean, that's fine. You can go ahead and do that. That's fantastic in your part. Go ahead. Thomas Jensen says, you're right, Big O, about Wilson, but Omar Kelly's exactly pinpoint right about our offensive line, and that's the real problem. Yes, it is. Nobody told you at any point that the offensive line was a finished product. In fact, who has been preparing you to tell you that out of the five draft picks, half of them won't make it? I'm sorry. I wonder who's been telling you that every single day on the show all the time. I'm wondering, who repeats that all the time, Sean? Do you know? You have any idea who tells you all the time that nobody hits on five draft picks?
I believe it's Big O.
Okay. All right. I don't know. I'm sorry. I don't know. I think somebody was preparing you for failure on the offensive line, right? I think somebody told you that they'll still need to get. See, the problem is the same people that gave up on the season, they assume all five draft picks are going to hit. Think about how stupid that is. Think about how unrealistic that is. Who the hell drafts five linemen and they hit on all five? No one does that. I told you they got to hit on two or three of those five. If they hit on two or three, they're phenomenal. If they hit on all five, Chris Greer needs to retire as a Miami Dolphin and sign him to a 40-year deal. Okay? Until Chris Greer can't even think anymore, I'd have him as my GM if he hits on all five. So I've been preparing you for this for a while now. I never told you it was a finished line. I never told you it was a good line. I told you we got to wait and find out who's good and who isn't. And that's why I said get Eichenberg in there. Don't waste any more time on Eichenberg. Get him in. You know what Jesse Davis is. And if Jesse Davis isn't Pro Bowl, then why is he playing? If Jesse Davis isn't one of the better linemen in the league, then why is he playing? So get Eichenberg in there, who has a future and is considered the guy that you hope becomes the everyday guy. So again, lots of you need to step into reality here. There was going to be failure on the offensive line. But not that they failed yet. We have to give these young men time to find out who can play and who can't play. There's lots of linemen that don't start well in their careers. It takes them a little while to kind of get things going. Remember, Cash App or Venmo, Cash Big O Show. That's Cash Big O Show. Dido Castro says, 1-1 in the division, no time to panic unless Tua is out. You're with me on that one. I love the team. I still think they can bounce back. I still think they can make the playoffs with no problem. I'm not worried about that, but they're going to do it with Tua. So if Tua is out for a considerable amount of time, that's when I'm going to be concerned, ladies and gentlemen, because I just don't think they'll have the guy back there. And I'm serious. I would rather see Sinet than Jacoby Brissett. I would. Not that they would ever do that, but I would go that crazy route. I fundamentally believe, and DJ Gallagher, thank you, sir, for giving us love on the Super Chat. I fundamentally believe that if Tua is not hurt, this will be the lowest point of the season before being a champ. learn from your tough loss, and adjust. Let's hope so. Let's just give them some time here. Let's not go crazy after one terrible, brutal game. Look, I watch Saturdays, and I know there's no hope with Manny or the administration. Okay, I already know what the Coral Gables administration is all about. The University of Miami doesn't care about football. They don't give a rat's ass. That's why you've got Blake James, and that's why you've got Manny Diaz. They don't care about football. They want to just get by, win 8 or 9 games, grab that fat ass check from the ACC, and pay for their athletic program. That's all they care about. That's it. They're about medicine and law and everything, and marine biology and all the other things that they're involved. They're about academics, man. That's what they are. They're an academic institution. They're not a football institution. But the Dolphins, I have plenty of hope here. Why am I going to get deterred from one bad game? Lots of teams have terrible games, man. And then you bounce back. Didn't New Orleans fall on their face this week after winning by 7,000 points last week? They pounded the crap out of Green Bay, and then they got embarrassed this week. It happens, man. And New Orleans is way better than Miami at this point, outside of the quarterback position that we still don't know with Winston. But that defense is solid, man. That's a really good defense. And they got some weapons on offense, and they got a line. They're a playoff caliber team with the right quarterback. And they lost this week. And they won last week. It happens, man. You just can't go out there and panic just because one game didn't go your way. DJ Gallagher, thank you, sir. I appreciate you giving us some love here on the Super Chat. Another Super Chat, Marco Rocks. Marco says, Big O, as bad as the Finns were today, Manny and the Canes are 100 times worse. Rough weekend for sure. Well, that's because I have hope for the Dolphins. I have no hope for the Canes. The Canes are done. It's over. They're never going to be anything special ever again. They're never going to be a national title contender again, ever. They're done. They're what you call a mid-major in basketball. That's what they are. We're back to the – I'm old enough to know when the Canes weren't the Canes. And I remember those days, and that's where we're back. Late 70s, very early 80s. That's what the Canes are. And I don't even know. I got to tell you something. I start to look at those early Jim Kelly teams. My brother, those teams are better than these. Those teams are better. They're not even those teams right now. So Marco Rocks, thank you, sir. Appreciate you giving us some love here on the Super Chat. Chadley says, your logic is flawed. Not one of those guys should be starting. Greer is clueless. You got to step into reality. What, the offensive line? And how do you develop the offensive line? What we could say is maybe you're developing too many at one time, because that's what's not normal. Normally, you're not developing 4 to 5 linemen. Normally, you're developing 1 or 2 inside with 2 or 3 experienced guys. And that's just not the case here. That part, we can have a discussion on that one, that the plan is flawed, right? In that sense, that maybe you put too many young guys there and you're putting a lot of people at risk. That we can argue about. I have no problem with that, but I'm not ready to give up on these guys because I don't know which one's going to be really good and which one's going to be really bad yet. I'm not ready to say any of that. Big O, how can you explain this is not Greer's fault? He used 7 picks. Rounds 1 through 3 on the O-line, they suck. And you already after 1 or 2? So you're the guy that also – I use this line all the time. So you're the guy that gave up on Gesicki also. All of you that give up on the line after 1 year, you're the same people that gave up on Gesicki, and you look like idiots because this is your M.O. You're giving up on the team. You're giving up on the line. You're giving up on everything after 1 year. And after 1 game, you're overreacting that the season is over. Wow. So 0-2 last year, you guys were what? Close to, you were on buildings and bridges ready to jump off? Is that what happened? At 0-2? Because I'm sure you guys, all of you negative folks out there at 0-2, you all for sure were convinced they were going to go 10-4 last year, right? Tuttle says, remember Eddie Brown, Stanley Shakespeare, Otis Anderson? That's what I'm saying, Tuttle. I started to think about those teams, and I'm going, holy crap. Yeah, maybe those teams are better than these teams also. That's how bad UM is, that they're not even at that point of the late 70s and very early 80s. That's scary. That is scary. Bye-bye Bosworth says, yeah, Big O, they will bounce back and win 8 or 9. The question is, they are not elite, and at a QB, they are not elite. Make the call to Houston. The NFL is about elite QB play. It is, but first let's see what happens with Tua. And you can't make no call to Houston. I know that this stupid conversation is going to start with Watson. The kid hasn't been deposed yet. They haven't finished the civil lawsuits. So until everything is done, there's no conversation to be had yet. And I'll tell you this. Miami loses more leverage by losing Tua also, because Houston will know they're that much more desperate in order to trade, and they would have to trade the world in order to get Deshaun Watson. You know what I love? All these people that want to trade right now for Deshaun Watson, Miami goes and gives up all those picks. Deshaun Watson gets injured, and then they say fire Greer because they traded all those picks for this guy and he got injured. Same people. Those are the people that never lose at all, because nobody ever tracks what they say. So then they just come in with a fresh new set of complaints. Man of 1,005 holds says, for the idiots asking to trade for Watson, you are aware the Texans will ask for 4 first-round picks and X, and we made the GM look stupid. I know. Well, the old GM, not the new GM. The old GM was O'Brien, because he was the coach and GM. We made him look stupid, not the one that's there now. Made the team look stupid. Let's see. But this hurts. It's more of the same. Just show up and not this embarrassing. I mean, it sucks, man. It sucks. Thank you, man of 1,005 holds. Marino Castillo, thank you, sir. Big time. I appreciate you on the super chat. Very kind of you, my man. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Marino, that is very nice of you. Man, that was disappointing. Rob says, hoping they would play out. They would play out coached, played. Nobody came to play. And I mean, nobody. All right. You got to text a little cleaner than that, my brother, so I can read it. But thank you, sir. Dario Castro says, if Tua is out, hopefully not. Is Cam a stretch? Yeah, Cam is definitely a stretch, my brother. There's no shot there. All right, what player do we have so we can hear from Mr. Sean Stanley? And thank you all out there, man. Dario Castro, man, thank you again for the super chat. I appreciate you. Let me check Cash App and Venmo, Cash Big O Show. That's Cash Big O Show on Cash App or Venmo. Thank you to O'Shea Morris. Thank you to Alexander Lopez, and thank you to Gerard Gonzalez. Appreciate all of you chiming in there on Cash App and on Venmo. Let's see. What do we got? Where are we at here? I know I got to find a. Here it is. Mark Jean Baptiste, thank you, sir, on Venmo. James Isaacs, thank you, sir, also on Venmo. And Michael Cracciola, thank you also on Venmo, man. Very nice of you all for chiming in and supporting us the way you do. That is incredibly kind. Who do we have there, Sean? We are waiting. We're going to try to get you a player here. Let's go with the players now. And who's first? Do we know there? You believe what? Okay. All right. So we'll tell you now. And again, thank you all out there, man. Very nice of you all for coming through and supporting us like you do. Very, very nice, man. Very nice. Let's see here. You got it? Here we go.
It was good. You know, I look for the matchup every week. So, you know, obviously his team did a good job. They won, so.
What's the mood in the locker room?
like a funeral.
This is Xavier Howard, by the way.
You know, it's football, man. You know, we respect each other. After the game, he was like, good job and stuff like that. But, you know, it's just about the respect.
And what happened on the touchdown catch? It looked like you lost his footing, you lost the shoe.
Yeah, I think he had fell. You know, Josh Allen being Josh Allen, scrambling and found him. You know, that's what he do. So, you know, we was looking forward for that, to him to scramble and throw the ball. So he did that. You know, I feel like we ain't winning all three phases, and you know, we just got to get better each day. You know, we take it one game at a time. You know, learn what we did, what we messed up this game, and move on.
Where's this team's level of confidence in Jacoby in terms of ending it?
We very confident in Kobe, man. You know, we talking trash at practice, me and Jacoby. You know, it's the next man up mentality, and you know, we just gotta do it. Whatever he lead us to, we're gonna do it.
You not surprised
with where
he plays
today? No, I'm not surprised. No, just playing against him at practice and you know, seeing that from him, so I'm really surprised about what he was doing.
I mean like you guys as a team.
No, we wasn't.
That is Mr. Xavier Howard. They even burned him once. Diggs got him. Remember? I mean, he played great. He dropped an interception, too. That's the other thing. Remember, X had 10 last year. Probably dropped like 5 last year, if you remember correctly. And in this game, obviously, he had the great interception that he picked it off. And then he did get burned by – but that happens to every corner, man. That's the kind of day it was. And then he drops an interception, too, which was just absolutely brutal. Ernie D, thank you, sir, for giving us a little love on the Super Chat. And again, thank you all out there. Remember, Cash App or Venmo Cash Big O Show. All right, let's go to the next player because X didn't really say too much. All right, we are ready, locked and loaded. Go for it.
I mean, obviously, you never want to see a player go down, especially one of your teammates.
This is Jacoby Brissett.
Thinking about him right now, but I mean, I don't want to sound bad, but you know, it's part of the game and just being ready to go. And you know, my number was called. It wasn't my first time in this situation, so yeah. No, we just got off the field and I showered real fast out here, so I'm sure I'll talk to him later. Still standing up here smiling, so got another game next week. Yeah, for sure. You know, we definitely, I mean, in the NFL, you know, you're going to throw the ball to everybody. Like I said, it was one week, you know, and, you know, now we get another opportunity to correct it and go out and you know, get better from there. As far as what? Well, yeah, that's what went wrong. you know, I mean, I can't tell you right now. I got to go back and watch the film and then, you know, be really, really be able to assess it. But, you know, yeah, can't do that.
So you've been in this league a long time. You've seen games like this where everything just seems to kind of snowball. What was going on offensively that just couldn't get clicking at all?
It's hard to put your thumb on it right now. I mean, like, obviously, like, everything didn't go right. You know, everything didn't go wrong. But, you know, we just got to find a way to see what we did well and you know, build off of that. You know, it's going to be, you know, very important that we watch this film, be critical of ourselves and you know, try to build off that, build off our good plays. Say it again, sir.
What stood out to you from the way that the Bills were rushing you in some of their...
What do you mean by stand out?
What stood out to you? What were you seeing on the field? Some of the blitzes they were throwing, some of the rushes, the way they were rushing you?
That's hard. I mean, they were just coming. I don't know what kind of how to answer that. Sorry.
Thank you.
Were you expecting that level of aggression from this
team? Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, it's the NFL. It's a division game. So, yeah, I mean, I'm sure we're going to go back and we're going to see it, and we're going to see the small things that we messed up on that we know we could have did right, you know, myself included, and, you know, correct it for next time.
You see the game differently than we do. What were they, Buffalo, doing at the start of the game? 7-8 men on the line of scrimmage and blitzing, corner blitzes and linebacker, you know, everywhere. What
I mean, they do that. That's Buffalo's defense. You know, when you turn on the film and they – you know, they showed that on film. You know, we were prepared for it. I mean, obviously, it didn't show that we were prepared for it. But, you know, so like I said about like the last question, I mean, you go back and you look at those small details when we said that we had the answer for these plays, you know, and just going back and correcting it. Well, I don't refer to myself as a backup quarterback for one. You know, I'm always throwing the ball. Just keeping my arm loose because you never know. Like I said, I mean, injuries happen in this league. So, you know, you always got to be ready. So just on the sideline, I'm throwing constantly as much as possible, keeping my legs warm because, I mean, obviously you guys see me go with the quarterback sneak, so I still got to be ready. So, yeah.
We don't know, of course, yet if you'll be starting next Sunday or even multiple games. But how would you describe your comfort level at the moment with your teammates, with the offense, with operating the Dolphins offense?
I mean, it's obviously work in progress. You're never done until you're done. But I feel good. I mean, I you know, we build off of the good plays from this week. You know, go back to work, go back to the drawing board. You know, we got a good division. I mean, not a division, but a good game coming up. It'd be interesting.
Jacoby, were they blitzing you as much too? I mean, when you process what they did against your offense as opposed to the start of the game, were they blitzing you as much?
Well, I pretty much got in at the start of the game. I mean, what do you mean? Yeah. You know, they came out and played what we saw on film, honestly. It was no different. I mean, probably a couple more extra pressures. But for the most part, you know, they came out and played what we thought they were going to do. Like every week, you know, I prepare as a starter. I mean, the starter. I mean, I know that's cliche, but I mean, that's how I live my life. Because you never know. Like I said, I've been in these situations before, and you know, I think that served me well.
You said earlier you don't think about yourself as a backup quarterback. How do you think of
where
you call yourself?
What
do you think of yourself as?
I'm a starter.
You put a lot of drop passes today. Did you say anything to your receivers? You guys have a conversation about that at all?
Yeah, we'll get better next time. No, it can't. It's not always on a receiver. I mean, sometimes it's on me, bad ball. But, you know, go back and watch the film, you know, get another week of preparation, you know, to get out there, you know, continue to throw, continue to drop ball and catch balls. And, you know, I mean, it's early in the season, second game of the season. So it's not like the house is burning.
It was a big one in the end zone, Parker, had it go to his hands. Was that particularly deflating at that point? Because you cut it down to 14-7.
Oh, no, that's not deflating. I mean, it's too early in the game for it. It's never deflating. I mean, it's part of the game. Drops part of the game. Bad throws part of the game. You know, I think he responded well. He came out and made some more plays. So, yeah.
Clearly, if you're confident and you see yourself as a starter, why not go to an organization that is going to give you a chance to compete for the job?
I think in this NFL, nobody gives you anything, right? I mean, you got to go out there and compete and be ready when your opportunity comes, however it comes. You know, you just got to go out there when you get your opportunity and make the most of it.
Kobe, what approach have you taken throughout your career in communication with the offensive line? Obviously, sometimes things go real well, sometimes they don't. How do you as a quarterback try to help the situation?
I mean, it's not just on them. It's on me. It's on receivers, on the running backs. So, and that's what, you know, as an offense, that's what we understand. It's just not on the O-line. I mean, you go out there and they're like, oh, it's the O-line. It's not them. It's sometimes I got to throw the ball. Sometimes somebody got to get open. Sometimes the back's got to get the guy. So it's a mixture of everybody. So I think in my career, when those things have happened, it's always just going back and just like, hey, like, let's just not put the finger point and put this on one group or one person, and let's just all see how we can help the situation.
How do you view your skill set with some of this team that you
I mean, like I said, go out there, prepare, and make the most of it. I mean, yeah, he was a starter, so it's no shock that they did that. I think they do that around the league, but that's no excuse. You know, you go out there and compete, and you work hard, and you know, I mean, obviously, it'll be geared towards me, or you know, so and you just go out there and play football. Yeah, have a good one.
There we go. That is Jacoby Brissett addressing the media. Pretty much, you know, he's not going. I did like how one person tried to say, "Hey, did you talk to your receivers about dropping the footballs?" He wasn't going to trash his receivers. I mean, it is what it is. Jacoby did the best he could considering the situation. I knew he was going to be in a little bit of trouble because the way they were going after, you know, the passer, whoever it was, Tua or him, you weren't going to have a lot of time. And can I give you, like, while it sucks to watch the line struggle the way they struggled, they kind of need these experiences as a group. They kind of need to go through this. It sucks. You know what I mean? And again, I think the one thing that's a flaw in this plan, and the problem is you would then have to go out and spend money on quality free agents, and you got to hope that they come through for you and you're not getting guys towards the end. In a perfect world, you'd like to have two or three experienced guys in there with two or three young guys. You know what I'm saying? Maybe two young guys, no more than that. You got four with Jesse Davis. That just makes it that much harder. But these are the moments that they're going to have to learn from. And this is where next week now, we got to see, did they learn a damn thing? The Raiders have pretty good pass rushers. You saw it 2 weeks ago on that, a Thursday night game or some Monday night game? What the hell was it? I forgot now. Anyway, but on that night game with the Raiders, their pass rushers were getting after it. So this will be a nice test for the Miami Dolphins also. Ladies and gentlemen, I get it. Those of you out there, you know, you don't want to trust the process. You don't want to believe in the Dolphins. You think the season's over. I'm not sure why you're watching, to be honest with you. If you've kind of given up on everything, I'm not sure what you're doing watching anyways. You know what I mean? I guess you're masochistic. You know what I'm saying? Is that kind of what it is? Little whips and chains action on your off time, huh? So I don't know, man. I mean, to me, It just gets to a little crazy right now at this point in time. All right, let's do this. We're about to be joined by Omar Kelly and Alan Pupar. Both guys will give us their opinions after this defeat. We are coming to you live from Sports Grill in Miami Lakes. Let me take a quick break because I haven't taken a break yet. So, and it's been an hour that we've been on. So let's take a quick break and then we'll come back. Hopefully we'll be talking with Omar Kelly and Alan Pupar here down the stretch, and we'll get their thoughts. I got a couple of other things that I want to talk about when we come back on the other side. A couple things that maybe Miami has to think about. We'll do that next.